Sideshow Podcast, episode 366. Well, we got two sixes. We're only 300 episodes away.
Which is what, like 4 years?
Well, we've been doing it for seven, and we're at 366, so it's more like 6 years.
6 years, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's daunting. All right, well, anyways, now that we've touched on that, we are back with our tried and true formula. No live reviews this week, but we've got three new albums from three bands that we have covered on the show before, as well as our Bands Across America taking us to the other Dakota this week. So, first up in our bands we've talked about in the past, we have, I'd say, the biggest release of the week. We have Behemoth's I Loved You at Your Darkest out on Metal Blade. So, though these guys have, like, I looked this up and I already forgot, like 10 albums under their belt, 11 full-length albums under the belt, this is only the second time that we've had the chance to really talk about them, with the last one being The Satanist out in 2014, which was post-Negrel's Leukemia?
Mm-hmm.
Leukemia? Yeah. And at that time, he had said that might be the last. So fast forward 4 years, we now have I Loved You at Your Darkest. And I'm sure I mentioned this when we covered The Satanist, but that was, you know, 4 years ago, and I don't remember if I said it or not, so I will again here at the top of this one. I don't have a ton of knowledge or experience with this band. For a band that is, like, such a mainstay and espouses everything I agree with, you would think they would have been one of my favorite bands for a long period of time. But they were one of those bands that when I first started getting into heavier stuff, they were still either a little bit too much for me or had a little bit too much of the symphonic thing going on from time to time with some of the bigger production. And also had a daunting back catalog where I didn't really know where to dive in. And that part of it, I still feel is a little bit true.
See, you,
because there's a lot.
You had 4 years and you didn't do it.
No, I didn't. Well, okay. To be fair, we've reviewed about 700 albums in that period of time. So, like, come on now. So no, I didn't. You're right. But I can safely say with the experience I have with this band, this is a more measured pace and a more deliberate sounding album from them than what we got with The Satanist and, I don't know, albums of years gone by. This, to say it feels more mature isn't really the right word. I mean, these guys have been around since 1995, but it has a different direction. It has, like, it's slower is really how I'm going to boil this down. It's not as aggressive and in your face. It's deliberate is a nice way of saying this kind of dragged at times. It's a lot more plotting, a lot more open space. And I'm not sure if I loved it. There are a lot of good parts to it, but I feel like my general take on 2018 Behemoth is kind of where I lie on Cradle of Filth, in that I enjoy the imagery and the attitude more than the music.
It's fair.
It's gotten to this, like their live show is a spectacle to behold. And like the lengths they go through to put on an entertaining show that is all immersive and draws you in is really there and top notch. But the writing on this, I didn't feel like they were really breaking a whole lot of new ground. It didn't really feel, for something that's being hailed as like being a huge departure from where they were, which, okay, it is, didn't like break into new territory of a soundscape we haven't really heard before. It just felt like they got older. It just felt like they slowed down a bit. I don't know. I don't have a huge knowledge to compare it to their back stuff, but it didn't blow me away like I was expecting it to.
And it's funny because I've listened to more of the albums. I've been following them for a little while. I have not listened to anything pre-Zoskia Cultus, their 2002 release. Demigod, like I'm sure many, was my first foray into them, which was just one of the things around it was the production, and I think it was just overproduced, especially the vocals. That was a problem for me with that one. And it was after that they, especially with the apostasy, they started bringing in some of the other elements, the symphonics and such. And I thought, I know I gave it a 4 and not a 5, but I think they nailed it on the Satanist. To me, and it's funny because I actually was on Instagram, of all places, and somebody was posting about this album, how much they loved it. And there's all these comments, like, people losing their shit over it. And that was the guy said he thought it was their best album so far. And oh, my God. And I'm like, I thought, apparently I'm in the minority, because I think the Satanist is superior. To further your point, yeah, they have – this has – it's much more dynamic. You get the blast beats and the heaviness, but they're really, I think, feel like they're focusing on the atmosphere and the theatrics of it. Now, when you go to a live show, it is a ritual. It is a sight to behold. And you can also see they've been blowing up. The last tour they did in the States was with Slayer and Lamb of God, and they were playing small theater. Like, large theaters, I should say. Small. They played the theater at the Madison Square Garden. It's a seated venue, largely. Fancier place. But they killed it, and I've seen them a couple other rooms. So I feel like this is, in a way, trying to capture that, but the music in some regards has lost its intensity. So when you get past, you know, the first few tracks, the dynamics start to show. And they're written well, but I feel the musicianship on it is a little more simplistic overall than when you go back to even just the Satanist. It's a little more complex, and there is some dynamics there. It's just not stretched as far. But that has the black and death metal intensity that everybody's come to know and love from Behemoth. So I was actually a bit surprised to see so much praise from some of these people, and the accounts I was following love, you know, the really dark stuff, you know, the black metal that Nick and I usually avoid. And so I was torn in it. It grew on me a little bit, but I still don't think it lives up to the Satanist. And I really need to, I haven't gotten the chance to, I need to follow up with my brother-in-law on this, because he's a huge Behemoth fan. And I'm not sure where he's going to lie on it. I would have thought he was alongside me, but judging by other people, I don't know, this left a little to be desired. I think, like you said, it slows in the middle. The dynamics go a little too far. I think and the album's not that long, so I think it could have been reined in, because there's some really good songs on here. Like Wolves of Siberia, God Equals Dog is solid. The one we're going to play for you is good. And individually, all the songs work. But when you put it all together, it's a little daunting of a listen to take in, and it lacks some of the intensity you get from previous ones. So if I gave Satanist a 4, I'm going to give this a 3.
Yeah, I'm a 3 on this one as well. Like, I didn't hate it, but it, I don't know, it lost me a little bit. It just, I guess it just wasn't quite what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we're going to play the song Romans 5:8 for you from Behemoth's latest, I Loved You at Your Darkest. Check it out. We'll be right back.
All right, so that was Romans 5:8 from Behemoth off the album I Loved You at Your Darkest, out now on Metal Blade. Let us know what you think over at thesideshowpodcast.com or social media places. I'd love to chat more about it. Moving on to some death metal from Horrendous and their fourth album, Idol, which is out now on Season of Mist. We've actually reviewed every album by these guys, which we don't get to do very often. I think it happens more often than we think. But we reviewed The Chills, their 2012 debut, back in episode 23, which also had another favorite album from Asphyx with the album Death.
Oh, man, that was a good week, huh?
We had Every Time I Die's X Lives and Veil of Maya's Eclipse, so it's bounced out a little bit. At any rate, so the point of that is, as the band grew, we seemed to like them a little more, because Nick was thought Chills, well, he that was a skip. That's when he
used to, that was a hard skip.
Yeah, we used to do the buy-try-skip rating system. Ectasis, I was a 4. This was in 2014, so I gave a lot of 4s. A lot of 4s. Actually, I gave everything in that episode a 4. Nick gave this one a 3. That one a 3. And Aretta, we both gave 4s. So, they're getting better. We've been liking them more. So where does that leave us with Idol? Well, this is getting close to not being able to call death metal anymore. Clearly, these guys have been digging into their old Atheist and Cynic albums. It's just the writing just screams those bands. And they added my favorite instrument, the fretless bass.
That's not new to this album, but
when I was listening to Anoretta, it did not stand out as much to me as it did on Idol.
Production is different, but
the production is good. It's a little raw, but it still works for you. Didn't love it.
Finish yours.
The production wasn't much of an issue for me, so I'm not going to really dwell on it.
Right.
The writing, though, from an objective standpoint, I thought it was well written. It was the progressive death metal was just, it was good. It was a little too reminiscent of those bands, but it did them justice. Everyone played well. The writing was solid. The progression was great. They managed to intertwine their instruments in unique ways, but that's not what I wanted from here. The touch of that was on Anoretta, where they didn't quite go this far, but kept more of the death metal, is what I liked. So while objectively I think it was solid, personally I was a bit indifferent on it, because it's not a sound I go back to. Just like the two aforementioned bands, I rarely go back to them. So it was an okay listen for me. It was the death metal came out a little bit here and there, but until it did, I was like, it is progressive death metal, but it's very heavy on the progressive aspect for me. And the vocals I also didn't find quite as fitting for the style than they did in the past, because that was the least dynamic part. While the musicians were, the vocals weren't, and while the scream itself was fine, it didn't quite sit well with me with how the rest of the music was going.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that point. Like, his vocals are so harsh and so, like, throat shredding that when you're getting more progressive and a little less blasty and a little less heavy, they feel a little weird. Like, it works in the context that they're doing and then the way it's produced, but they are a little overly harsh at times for what the rest of the band is doing. And surprising no one, I generally agree with your review. This didn't put me off, and I understand why you didn't like it as much as Anoretta. This, to me, was like two sides of the same coin, though. Like, this wasn't a huge progression different. It did favor more of the progressive angle of things, but I'm more of a fan of Cynic and Death than you are. So, like,
yeah, Death is another
that yeah. that makes sense that I would gravitate more towards this than you would. But it is, it's similar to Anaretta. It's just like, it's a little step further in an evolution. You know, there's still enough death metal here that I would call this a death metal record.
Yeah, I was being a little, I was exaggerating for emphasis.
I know you. Yeah. Yeah. So like, this is a step further in an evolution that they've slowly been taking since they began. But for the first time, I'm not upping a point rating for every album as I have in the past, because that would have to land this one at a 5, and I'm not there with it. But by and large, I enjoy this, but I think I do like Anaretta better. Mostly because of the way the vocals fit in. It is a little bit heavier. Mm-hmm. And I liked that production better than this one. This production isn't bad, but it felt a little bit pillowy at times, mm-hmm. like in the bass and bass drum in particular. It didn't have quite the crunch and the hard hitting effect to it that you had from previous albums. Their production's been all over the place in their discography.
Yeah, but sure. Like,
I thought they really nailed it on the last one to have that really raw, not polished sound, but everything be nice and clear. You could hear what everybody was doing. You know, the fretless didn't jump out at you and be like, look, I'm noodling, but like, it was there, yeah. And you could pick up on it. It was like everything sat really well and still had teeth to it. And this kind of fitting a little bit more with the more ambient and progressive nature they're taking is produced that way as well. And I feel like if they gave it that slightly more modern raw production that they had on the last one, maybe it would have hit you a little bit better,
yeah,
than it did.
It might have. And I think the vocals might have sat better too, because the dynamics, like you said, the dynamics were there in Anaretta, but overall was more intense and a little thicker, right, sounding. So the vocals would have set in a little differently.
Yeah, so I liked it, but I've been hard to pin down a number on it, because I do think I like the last one better, but where this is similar to it, I think I'm going to end up rating it the same and just stay on a 4 on this one. And as I said, it's like two sides of the same coin. They're both enjoyable, but for different reasons.
Now, I'm going with a 3 on this one. And that's for Idol, Horrendous's latest album, out on Season of Mist. Check out the song Devotion. We'll be right back. That was Devotion by Horrendous off their latest album, Idol, out now on Season of Mist. That brings us to Bands Across America, where we are at the Other Dakota, which, if you're new to the show, welcome, or you just missed last week. It's the South one. It's the 40th state, though, as we noted last week, it technically got signed the same day as North, but they don't know which one came first. And that was on November 2nd. 1889. So here's a really fun fact. So each year, the tiny farming town of Clark, South Dakota, throws a giant party to celebrate its chief crop, the humble potato. Potato Day features a best decorated potato contest, a potato dish cooking contest, and a mashed potato wrestling contest, in which, as you would guess, adults grapple in a huge tub of mashed potatoes. That's got to be a sight to behold. there's some other fun and weird facts about South Dakota that also don't have to do with Mount Rushmore. So just for that, if the potato fact intrigued you, just do a quick Google search. Musically, it was very similar to its northern sister state, where the number of bands were slim, and the number of bands that were still together was even smaller. One of the ones we came across, we thought was good, was a band called The Washout. And actually, it was this year they put out an EP called Alluvion. And it's a really interesting style of progressive metal, in which, as they note themselves, they're a progressive metal / rock group, harmonized guitars with aggressive rhythm and vocals. And, you know, that kind of nails it. there's some really nice melodies put together by the guitars. The vocals are generally harsh. There's some clean in there. But the way, especially the way this was mixed, the drums are nice and punchy. And in a song like Duality of Man, Separate, you get a lot of double bass in there that's just kind of hammering away, but and chunky guitars. But you get to a song like We're Gonna Play in the Water, you feel the guitar melodies coming in a lot cleaner, carrying the song along. Two of the songs in here push about 8 minutes, and they don't feel like it. They everything comes together really nicely, and it's a little bit different in execution. The like when we were talking about the vocals for Horrendous not really syncing up with the music, somehow I find it to work well enough on here. I can't tell you why. Maybe Nick can, but to me it worked well enough, and it was something a little different in a standout for the state.
Yeah, I don't know if I can articulate it any better than you did.
You don't have to.
Okay, good, because I'm probably not going to. But I agree, this was good. And the biggest note that I had on here was for length of songs, as you touched on, these don't feel it. You know, they have enough evolution and progression that it doesn't feel like, okay, you're playing the same verse, chorus structure again, like move on, give me something different. There's enough flow and change and even like tempo changes as the song we're going to play for you just kind of kicked into around the 6 minute mark that keep it fresh, that keep it interesting. And the balance of what's on here from, you know, big harmonizing melodic guitars to chunky, heavy, like thick, just chug riffs to, you know, clean vocals to really harsh, gritty, throaty vocals. It's like, it's all on there and it's four songs. Like it's really well done. It doesn't overstay its welcome. And that is with some songs that, you know, push the 8 minute mark, which as we all know, for my attention span is about the maximum I'm usually willing to invest into something. So very well done.
Yeah. And
I definitely enjoyed this.
And on their Bandcamp page, they only have five songs to their name. So this is, which I'm curious of their numbering. So there's tracks one through four. Each of the names have a number associated with our respectively 2, 3, 8, and 10. While the track that preceded this EP is titled with a 9. So either there's a bigger picture they're still painting, this is all going to come into, or I just don't get it.
Or they're just messing with us,
and kudos, you're doing it great. But my point is, there's five songs to their name, and so that means there's just huge potential for the future here, and I'm curious to see where they go with their sound. So with that, check out the song The Water by The Washout. That was not a joke we intended to make. Well, I didn't intend to.
Thank you.
All right, and leaving South Dakota behind, that will take us to our last pick for the week, which is Irreversible Mechanism with their album Immersion out on Blood Music. This is the second time we've covered these guys. Going back to, when was the first time? Hang on, there we go. It was back episode 184 back in 2015. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. It's been 3 years already.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is a tech death band, as you may or may not recall. We covered Infinite Fields back with the last review in 2015. I'm hit or miss on this, is where I'm landing. Because there's a lot on here. It's a 51-minute album, and I feel like a lot of it could have been trimmed down. Like, the core of the songs are all really, really good. And if I could strip away some of the lead-ins and lead-outs and, you know, whole tracks dedicated to building atmosphere before it gets into something, this would be a five. Like, the playing on it is fantastic. The musicianship is great. The writing is great. These guys clearly know their way around a kit and around fretboards. Like, that is not something that could be debated or argued by anybody.
Right.
But it loses me in its length. A lot of the stuff just kind of overstays its welcome. And I don't know. It didn't feel like they were breaking any new grounds or really pushing forward from what we got from them on their last one. It felt like the biggest difference it felt like they did was add more ambient space of extra stuff. It's like, I'm going to blank on the name of the first album.
Infinite Fields.
I'm jumping bands here. It feels like the change between Portal of Eye and Citadel.
Gotcha.
From Nabla of Scars.
Gotcha.
Like, what was there that was song was really, really good. But there was a lot of, like, filler to wade through to get to what you wanted. And that, to me, felt like the biggest difference. Like, the writing, the actual core of the songs on this were as good as what we had from Infinite Fields. It just took more to get there and therefore didn't give you as much of it. Infinite Fields was a 40-minute album, but it was almost all, like, intense and fast and tech death. And this is 10 minutes longer, but I would argue about 20 minutes less worth of riffage. I don't know. It kind of lost me in the world they were building.
I feel like with Infinite, this is what they were hinting at with Infinite Fields. Cause if you go back to that, there is more of a hard cut between, like, some ambient stuff and just really intense technical death metal. And here they obviously brought in a ton more of the ambience, which comes in a little more in a synthy way, and the production is bigger. The production is immaculate. It is an absolutely fantastic sounding album. But I feel like, as opposed to, say, Fallujah, or at least 12 years ago, most of the tech death parts don't have the ambience with it. So they're gonna go back and forth. There are parts where they overlap, or like in the title track where you get like a chorus where it breaks into like a clean vocal for a sec and the atmosphere is there and it comes back in, but it gets lost, overpowered by double bass drums and riffing guitars. So
right.
I agree, this one, pretty much like the other two albums this week, is just a lot to handle. And putting them all together did not do us any favors. But I think the other problem I have with this album is, while it is a step above and beyond what they did last time within themselves, in those last 3 years, a relative fuck ton of bands have been doing same thing. And so the question lies as to where do they fit? Because The Flesh Prevails by Fallujah came out in 2014, and Dreamless came out in 2016. So they, like, straddled their this band's first album.
And that is a perfect band to reference as an example. Like, if you look at Dreamless, you and I both knocked that down a couple pegs compared to Flesh Prevails, because they got too artsy, they got too spacey, they didn't deliver enough of the heavy to go with that ambience. And I feel like that's the exact same trajectory that Irreversible Mechanism is making. Like, everything that's on here is fantastic. It's just a little bit too spread out for what I want.
Right. So I feel like if they did really the same thing, but in a more concise album, in a 35-minute album, or that, you know, 40 is still 10 minutes, but, you know, let's go lower for 35. Like, you can do that. Just because I feel like a lot of these bands miss that point. You can be big and spacious and have this huge atmosphere without having an hour-long album. Just because you want to create space doesn't mean it has to actually take up physical space in doing it. So a 35-minute ambient progressive death metal album can be a thing. And it might, in some cases, might be better off. The instrumental aspects of the interstitials here even are good on their own, but they just add a little too much packing to this album.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Yeah. Like, I really want to give it a 4, because on a technical level, it's really good, and a lot of the songs are really solid, and the production is fantastic. But I can tell you I'm not going to go to it as much as I would for any other album I give a 4.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's where I came into this review as. Like, it was a hard one, because I like the band. I like a lot of what's on here. But the album effect of it is a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like going into it, you know, you're biting off a pretty big, daunting thing, because, like, it has a good through line as an album if you want to invest in that. But just know you're investing 50 minutes of your time, and a fair amount of it is kind of transitional music. And that takes me in a very rare mood. That's what I'm.
And even that said, I feel it's not a good background album until you've really digested this actively listening to it. And that can be said for a lot of albums that we don't bring up that fact. But I feel like because of so many ebbs and flows with this and peaks and valleys, that you need to figure it all out first and soak it in. But like Nick said, that's 50 minutes worth of your time every time.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm landing on a 3 on it as well. It's good, but it's not quite what I want. All right. Well, cool. You were 3s across the board this week, sir.
I'm a lot pickier now. We've reviewed a lot of fucking albums.
Yeah. Yes, we have. I haven't even looked at. We're care to guess our count so far for the year, not counting Bands Across America. So you can add another 36 to that.
3. I can't do the math that fast. Just tell me.
We're 114 thus far.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot. Anyways, enough of that. That's the end of the show. Head over to sideshowpodcast.com. Let us know what you thought about any of the bands. Correct our whatever. I'm sure we said something wrong. I always do. Feel free to tell me. If you feel like supporting the show, you can click over to Amazon and buy some shit there. We get a couple of bucks for it when you do. You can buy our stuff over at our site if you want to do that. If you want to suggest some bands for us to check out, we are still staying in the northern Midwest to West area of our wonderful country, with Montana, Washington, and Idaho coming up next. So throw some our way for those, please. That's going to do it. That's going to wrap up 366. Next week, we have Monuments, High on Fire, and Wolfheart. Look at that. We actually know them all up front. So that will be next week, 367. We're going to leave you this week with Beyond from Irreversible Mechanism off their album Immersion. Check it out. We'll see you next week. Mm-hmm.